Hi there, welcome along to the Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. If you've never joined us before, thank you very much for coming. Here is what we do. We look ahead to the week's big golfing action, and it doesn't get any bigger than this week because we've got the Masters at Augusta. Steve and I are very excited for enthralling rounds kickoff at Augusta on Thursday. Hopefully Steve's, well, I know Steve's been studying hard because I've texted him and sent him various WhatsApps, and he takes ages to get back, which means he's had his head down and it's been a busy weekend. First of all, Steve, that's a splendid piece of swag you've got on there. Tell us all about that. Is it? I presume it's a green jacket. It looks a little more like a sort of ochre jacket, I would say.
Oh, it's definitely green, yeah. I bought this when I was a teenager, actually, when I was doing some work experience at the local paper. I got this work experience at the local paper, didn't have any smart clothes, so I bought a green jacket. And it's been in the cupboard at my parents' house for 30 years. Totally forgot about it. My dad brought it round yesterday and said, look, you might get some inspiration from this. So, it's a green jacket. I'm going to wear it all week. It's going to stink by Sunday, but I don't care.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? Does it still fit you after all these years?
Yeah, I haven't changed. Clearly haven't changed. Still got a teenage body.
Excellent stuff. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, let's get some housekeeping out of the way first. Where is it? How long's the course? Tell us all about the cut and all that kind of stuff. Give us the basic groundwork that we all need.
Roger that. Augusta National, Georgia. Lengthened again this year. We're up to 7,510 yards now. Par 72, four par fives. Home of the Masters since 1934. We had a one-off November Masters in 2020 due to the COVID. We're back in April, hopefully forevermore now. Generous fairways, hardly any rough. Aggressive driving encouraged. Accurate approach play to the fastest greens in golf is the key to success. You've got to find the right sections of these greens. There's been a few changes since last year that we must mention. The 11th and the 15th are longer. The par 4 11th.
Well, that was already a brute, wasn't it? Is that the
absolutely
one with the pond to the left of the green?
That's right. That's right. They've taken some trees out down the right, but they've made it longer. The par 4 11th is actually 10 yards longer now than the par 5 13th. That offends my eye a little bit, to be honest. I think it looks ugly on the scorecard. I've got to try and get over it. That's the one thing bringing me down this week. I mean, I will get over that and move on. All the greens have been slightly flattened, slightly enlarged, and slightly softened. Yeah, these are very subtle changes. Even Tiger Woods, when he arrived there last week, said it was hard to notice these facts, but they have. So I think, aside from the 11th and the 15th, which will play harder, I think the rest of the course will play a tad easier because the greens are a little more welcoming. And the weather forecast, really good. Sunny with light to moderate breezes throughout. Pleasantly warm on Thursday, around 23 Celsius. Quite cool for the final 3 days, peaks of 18 Celsius, but no rain for the competition, no delays, no significant draw bias. Punters can bet with confidence on what I think is always the best betting opportunity of the year. You know, it's a small field, loads of no-hopers, you know, good weather, great each-way turns. The Masters is a dream for golf punters.
Lovely stuff, Stephen. Just very quickly, tell us all about the cut. How many players are there and how many will make it through to the weekend?
There's 91 players in the field as things stand. We're all on tent hooks waiting for Mr. Woods' verdict, but 91 as things stand, and the top 50 plus ties qualify for the final 36 holes. So, yeah, we mentioned the no-hopers, a lot of pensioners teeing up in this field. You've got to play really badly to miss the cut.
OK, there's not that many pensioners, though, is there? Sandy Lyle still, guys. I don't think Woosnam's in there this year, is he? And I did notice, intriguingly, there's a fella called Austin Greaser in the field. Tell us all about Greaser.
Yeah, he's one of our amateur friends. Yeah, we've got. I was hoping to have a bet on top amateur, but the bookie's being very, very careful with that. They haven't issued prices yet. There's one I'd like to get involved with, but no prices available as things stand at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. We've started really early today as a Masters special.
And obviously, Steve, we will get onto the tips, folks, very shortly. But another amateur, Laird Shepherd, of course, his brother is a jockey. Isn't that amazing? His twin brother is Callum Shepherd, the jockey.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, you know my horse knowledge is extensive. So, of course I knew that.
It's a wonderful weekend talking to horses. We've got the Aintree Grand National meeting starts on Thursday. We've got the title decider, Man City versus Liverpool. But we're going to focus on the Masters. And let's bring you some prices from our sponsors, Boyle Sports. Because as you say, Steve, fantastic each-way turns. Boyle Sports offering 11 places. Absolutely sensational. Here is their latest show of betting. We've got John Rahm in there at 9-1 favourite. It's 10-1 Justin Thomas. 12 Cameron Smith, 12 to 1 Scotty Scheffler, 14 Dustin Johnson, same price Morikawa and Brooks Koepka and Victor Hovland, 16 Rory McIlroy, 16 Jordan Spieth, 18 Patrick Cantlay, 18 Xander Schauffele, 25 Will Zalatoris and 30 Bars. So all the big names are there. A couple of injury doubts. Obviously, Tiger Woods. He's oh, what price they got Tiger, by the way? I mean, I must admit, I looked down and I saw his odds and I thought, oh, come off. He's 45 to 1. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. But, and defending champion Hideki Matsuyama, there's an injury doubt about him as well, isn't it? And I was reading about Bryson DeChambeau, Steve. I mean, he apparently, I didn't realise this, he stacked while playing table tennis against Sergio Garcia and broke a bone in his wrist or something. So three of the bigger names have got injury doubts. What's your latest feeling about those and how effective they'll be?
Well, Bryson did a conference last night and was quite positive. So Bryson's definitely going to play. Maybe it was down to the table tennis. Maybe it was down to, you know, trying to hit drives 10,000 yards every day and, you know, entering long drive competitions. I don't know. I think it's wear and tear more likely. Tiger Woods, you know, I don't know. He plays his cards very close to his chest. I don't know whether he's here to play the par three competition with his son and then withdraw. I'm not sure. I mean, Tiger Woods, the ultimate competitor. I think just being there on the property now, his juices would be flowing. He'd be desperate to play. So I think Tiger is going to play, but I'm not sure. I mean, it's such a fragile body. If, you know, tweak something.
I mean, can't take... win, can he?
No.
The reason the bookies are so short about him is that there'll be loads of emotional fivers and all that. But you're best off saving your money, Steve, aren't you? You cannot can he?
He is being well backed, actually. He is one of the more popular selections early in the week. And yeah, it's none of that is my money. Yeah, I think if he plays, you know, his Augusta know-how, his competitive spirit, he might scrape through and make the cut. That's the way I see it. He might scrape through and make the cut, but I can't see him contending, you know, 17 months of rust. I'd love to be proved wrong. I'd be crying like a baby if he did the job. But no, I would advise punters to avoid the outright bets on Tiger Woods. We must mention with Ball Sports, they don't just have those... The best each way terms. They give you options. You can have a fifth, a sixth, and a bigger price. You know, fifth, the eight, and a bigger price. Fifth, the 11. I think even fifth, the 12, and a shorter price is another. They've got four different options for you to bet on there. Who was the other injury concern? Yeah, Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki Matsuyama. 27 holes was all he could manage last week in the Texas Open. Yeah, that's alarm bells, really, because his scorecard was pretty good in round two and he gave up after nine holes. So I don't know. Maybe he was just saving himself in the Masters. But these are three players that I wouldn't go anywhere near, really. I don't like backing injured golfers, despite the crazy expression we sometimes hear.
OK, mate. And just finally, before we get your first selection, we are inviting you to join us on Sunday evening from 8 p.m. for a special Masters final round watch along in partnership with Boyles. It'll be myself and Steve. Hopefully we'll scrape a couple of guests on so we can go to the toilet during what will be at least a 4-hour transmission. Steve and I are watching the action, bringing you all the latest betting. Steve will bring you some in-running fancies. We would love you to join us there. That is on YouTube on Sunday. Right then, Steve, without further ado, who is your 2022 Masters headline selection?
It is Dustin Johnson, who is 14 to 1 with Boyle Sports if you want the best each way terms. 18 to 1 is available elsewhere with inferior each way terms. Not long ago, the debate in golfing circles was, is Dustin Johnson going to dominate golf for years to come? It got to the point where he had separated himself significantly from the rest. He won three times in 2016, including the US Open, four times in 2017, three times in 2018, twice in 2019, four times in 2020, culminating in a five-shot Masters triumph. That was the moment when many pundits thought DJ was getting to a sort of Tiger-esque grip on the sport. A few months later, he won the Saudi International, further cementing world number one status. But for about 7 months after that, he went off the boil. I'm not certain why. I think potentially resting on his laurels a bit, lost a bit of motivation, had a few equipment issues. He couldn't find a driver that he really liked. Whatever the reason, there was that fallow period. But last year's Ryder Cup seemed to relight the Johnson fire. He loved being the senior man on that young American side. He became only the fifth player in Ryder Cup history to win five matches. And this year, there's been a real spring in his step again. He took a lot of time off, didn't return until the Farmers Insurance Open at the end of January. Slowly but surely, been getting back to his best. That ninth place at Sawgrass a month ago, really impressive. He was on the wrong side of a significant draw bias. Remember the significant draw bias?
I do, yeah, very much so.
Johnson did well to make the cut, then surged up the board with a late rattle to finish ninth. Then last time out in the WGC match play, he was a losing semi-finalist to the eventual champion, Scotty Scheffler. Johnson's got his form back, and he's massively proven at Augusta National. I know his victory came in the November conditions, but his April Augusta form from 2015 onwards is rock solid. 6-4, 10-2, miscut. Miscut's defending champion, nothing to worry about. A lot of defending champions have struggled at Augusta, and that was during that fallow period that I mentioned. Six players in Masters history have won their first Masters, then 2 years later have won their second Masters. Horton Smith, Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson and Bubba Watson. I can see Johnson, you know, continuing that trend, doing likewise. He's in great spirits. He's finally getting married this year. The lovely Paulina has already had her bachelorette party. I don't know if you saw those pictures. She had her bachelorette party last month or early, a couple of weeks ago. So the wedding can't be far away. I don't know when the wedding is. Not revealing it, but it must be soon. Maybe DJ can get married in a green jacket.
Lovely stuff. He might even borrow yours. I mean, that is so splendid, isn't it? Lovely. So is that Wayne Gretzky's daughter that you mentioned? Is he
Yes, Paulina. She's at a bachelorette party. So I think the wedding must be this summer. Yeah, imminent. Maybe it's straight after the Masters. I don't know. But, you know, Johnson seems in a good place to me. And I think he's ready to win a second Masters in his third major title.
Cool. You made a brilliant case for him there, Steve. That was excellent. Very uplifting.
Yeah, well, I'd love to be Dustin Johnson. I mean, he lives a great life, doesn't he?
He does. It would be good being him. Because he doesn't look like he gets very stressed out by golf either, does he?
No, that's it. Yeah, both of my main selections this week are very similar characters in that respect. Cool dudes.
I've massively dropped the ball here, haven't I? We always start off by saying how many selections, and all I've done is ask you who the headliner is. How many have we got in all?
We've got three selections.
You're very sparing with your tips these days, aren't
you? Yeah, I think that's the way. When I win, I want to win big, and I want to win. If you have loads of selections, it gets expensive and it gets a bit bitty. So let's go heavy on our main selections.
Okay, right. So we've got Dustin Johnson. If it's not going to be Dustin, who's this other cool dude you refer to?
You probably could have guessed it because, as I say, very similar characters. Very similar shape. I'll put you out in misery. It's Scotty Scheffler.
The chef. We've got to have the chef, haven't we? He's been so good to us this spring.
Yes. 12-1 with Ball Sports if you want the best each way term. 16-1 available if with inferior each way terms elsewhere. I'm yet to hear a good reason for ignoring the chef this week. I've heard people talking about the show. I haven't heard a sensible reason for leaving him out of your staking plan. I see two laid-back giants slugging it out for the Masters title on Sunday evening. We'll be doing our watch-along, and we'll be watching Dustin Johnson and Scotty Scheffler smiling their way up the fairways and dueling for the green jacket. I mean, we've been eyeing up the chef on the sweet spot for the Masters ever since the Phoenix Open win. I don't know if you remember, but we were talking about his caddy, Ted Scott. Who has won the Masters alongside Bubba Watson. Yeah, he was caddy for Bubba Watson for both of his Masters wins. I think Ted Scott is a massive help for Scheffler this week. Not that Scheffler needs much help. I mean, he's got such a good temperament. Whenever I hear him speak, I'm so impressed. He was on a podcast last week that I watched, and he was talking about his new world number one status. And he was so cool about it. He said he just woke up the next day, realised it didn't matter, realised it hadn't changed his life. He spent the next day playing silly games with his wife. I think he had the Rubik's Cube out or something, he was saying. And he said, winning a green jacket is not going to change his life either. He said that. He said that there's a real nonchalance about Scheffler. He's a happy, contented soul. He doesn't let results define him. I think mentally he's in a wonderful place for this event. Whatever
happens. Rubik's Cube, though, Steve. He's got a Rubik's Cube, not a PlayStation.
That's what he said. Yeah, he spent 3 hours in the garden with his wife just messing about because he's got no kids. He just has fun.
He's 25,
he's one of the happiest men on the circuit, it appears. And whatever happens this week, it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter what happens. He's having the best year of his career, whatever happens. Anything from here on is a bonus. I think he plays with freedom, and I think he might freewheel to the green jacket. He's won three of his last five tournaments. In the other two, He was 7th at Riviera a week after the maiden title, and he was 55th at Sawgrass from the wrong side of the draw. He's hardly put a foot wrong. He's the most informed golfer on the planet. He had a week off prior to the match play. He had a week off after the match play. So, you can't give me fatigue. If you can give me a good reason why we ignore the chef this week, I'd love to hear it.
This is a question, not a point, because I don't know. But, I mean, is his game suited to Augusta? Is there something in that? I mean, is he a fader when you're meant to be a drawer or what? I agree with you. I can't see it. He's just so in form, isn't he?
He's got no... I'm just gagging to get my... He's got no statistical weakness. None. His short game's amazing. His putting stats are amazing. Now he's come on. The short game's the final, the icing on the cake, as I often like to say. There's no statistical weakness now. His Masters form is 19-18. He's had two spins, both solid efforts. His Majors form, you're going to say, oh, he's not contending in many Majors. You can't say that. His Majors form, 4-19-18-8-7-8. Getting more comfortable in major arenas. Unbeaten on his Ryder Cup debut. Everyone keeps saying to me, oh, it's happened so quickly, it's happened so quickly, it's happened so quickly. You can't get to world number one quickly. It's a two-year rolling cycle. If he'd been missing loads of cuts for 2 years, then won three events on the spin, he wouldn't be world number one. He's been playing consistently well for ages, and he's finally getting his reward with some silverware.
Yeah. No, I can't dispute what you're saying. You almost sort of think, well, perhaps he's won too much. But, I mean, that's just a ludicrous argument, isn't it? I agree with you. I'm with you all the way. 11 places, Steve. I mean...
Close your eyes and imagine it.
Job to, go on.
I was just going to say, just close your eyes and imagine Scheffler winning the Masters and Sunday and slipping in the green jacket. It's so easy to imagine. I mean, yeah. I've been watching a lot of Star Wars with my son lately. He's banging to Star Wars now. He's only 2 and it's a 12, so I feel a bit of a bad dad, but...
It's
only a bit of shooting and whatnot, but in there, like the Jedi's always close their eyes. And so I've been doing a bit of that and just imagining. Can you imagine Dustin Johnson winning the Masters? So easy to imagine that. Can you imagine Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters? So easy to do that. I just, he seems an unpopular one, Scheffler, this week. I just don't understand. It's bonkers.
No, I'm with you all the way. And we've just got one other selection, Steve. Who's that going to be?
We have. We've got one other selection. And I'm excited about this one. I think I might have burnt myself out there. I'm so enthusiastic about that. Let me just have a sip of my diet.
Okay, mate. All right, fair enough. Whereabouts in the odds frame are we? Are we going down the list a bit?
Yeah, we're flying down. Because I'm really excited about this one as well, because it's somebody who's finally won you over. I earlier in the year, I convinced you to finally join the dark side of the force.
And it's, oh, no.
Yes. Oh, yes. Join the dark side. It's Thomas Peters. It's Thomas Peters, who is 80-1 with Borough Sports getting all those places, 125-1 elsewhere with inferior place terms. Peters won you over in the Abu Dhabi Championship in January. That was a mature, composed final round performance to win a DP World Tour Rolex Series event. Is this enormous talent about to realise his true potential? When Peters starred in the 2016 Ryder Cup after winning 3 European Tour titles, I thought we had an absolute colossus on our hands. He turned 30 in January this year with 6 DP World Tour titles to his name. Not bad. We're still waiting for the stateside breakthrough. Can it come at Augusta? I think it's entirely feasible. And the vast majority of his peers would think this is entirely feasible. Peters is greatly respected by his fellow professionals. They all know how good he is.
How do you know?
I listen to his peers. He was a brilliant college player stateside. He hasn't won stateside professionally, but as a college player stateside, he was revered as a fantastic player. You don't go and make a Ryder Cup debut away from home in a team that gets absolutely thrashed and top score in the tournament. You just don't do that unless you're gifted. Thomas Peters is gifted. And on his Masters debut in 2017, do you remember this?
Nope.
Finished 4th. You hardly ever do that. All the song and dance made about Will Zalatoris last year finishing runner-up and debut. Debuts do not perform at Augusta. Peters turns up in 2017 with a real swagger, destroyed the par 5s, finished 4th. The bare form from his last 2 starts may underwhelm punters, particularly you. I mean, easily underwhelmed by him, but he missed the cut at Sawgrass and a group stage exit at the match play, but he was on the wrong side of that draw bars at Sawgrass. And he played superbly in the match play. That's a quirky event where you can play really well. He got really unlucky that 2 of his group opponents played fantastically against him. In his 3 group matches, Peters was a total of 15 under par. for his three matches. Billy Horsch will sneak through the group, but Peters is clearly in great nick. So, yeah, they're my three. All played a game in a similar fashion. Aggressive powerhouses. You know, if these greens, larger and flatter, and great weather forecast, I think aggressive powerhouses will dominate. Those three are my beauties.
That's brilliant, Steve. Well done. You make fantastic cases for those, I must say. With the larger, flatter, slightly softer greens, does that make it less of a putting? I mean, it sounds obvious, really, doesn't it? I mean, those guys who used to just love to be able to read those greens, does their skill and sublime touch there be slightly negated? Who does that count against, if that is the case?
I've been listening to Tiger Woods on this, and he still said that they're really, really difficult. And obviously the slightly larger ones, you know, makes three putts even more common. Yeah. They've still got all the, you know, more rolls at a bakery. And they're very subtle changes. So yeah, I wouldn't get too carried away, but yeah, maybe some of them are slightly easier. I don't know. We're going to find out, but yes, it's a longer course. Yeah, we're past the 7,500 yard mark now, and I struggle to see a short hitter winning this. I mean, you know, only two of the last 21 Masters have been won by a short hitter, Zach Johnson and Wiersey, Mike Weir. So I want powerhouses.
Okay, mate. I just hope those greens are a bit easier than the ones at Valdelobo last week.
Oh, blimey, yeah, you were living the high life, weren't you?
I was, yeah, it was lovely, but it was a proper putting examination and I failed it miserably. Never mind, we move on. Right then, let's get a quick line from you on some of the fancy contenders, and you can give them a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a horizontal thumb. Should we do that?
Okay, like the feather at Gladiator, is that the...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. We'll start with Big Johnny Rahm, who remains favourite for all these tournaments, despite having a really sketchy old year. So what are you going to do with Johnny Rahm? Going back to your Star Wars thing with the Jedi, could you shut your eyes and imagine Johnny Rahm slipping on that green jacket?
Yeah, I could still imagine it. I mean, I'm obviously gutted that we
don't have to do the thumb, don't worry.
Yeah, I don't even know.
It'll just get a bit, it'll start aching because it's got a few of them, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah, I would love to be tipping John Rahm because obviously he's our major's acker. Remember at the start of the year?
Yes. Yeah, the major's acker. Because I know someone actually said on Twitter they'd like to know a major's acker now because you're getting the better place terms now than you did at the start of the year.
So if you have the acker, you're getting
all those 11 places, aren't you?
So well, I'd stick to the same.
Remind us who the ones you parked were.
Well, it was John Rahm, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy.
Well, you have to say which one's for. John Rahm for the Masters.
Sorry, in that order, yeah. John Rahm for the Masters, Victor Hovland for the USPGA, Xander Schauffele for the US Open, and Rory McIlroy for the Open. And, you know, that could still happen. Yeah, we're not going to give up on that. I mean, hopefully if our three tips blow out, which I'm not expecting to happen, then, yeah, we'll be cheering on John Rahm for the ACCA. But 4 months is a long time in golf, you know. 4 months is a long time in politics. It's even longer in golf. And I fancied Rahm for this at the start of the year, but the last couple of months have gone off him because his short game has become an issue. I mean, he gets riled whenever a member of the media asks him about his putting stats, which makes it even more lodged in his head, this sort of putting concern. He pretends he's not concerned about it, but he must be. He's been easily riled all year. You know, he's been a real tetchy character all year. He's got a young son at home and a pregnant wife. I've sensed a sort of build-up of tension in Rahm. I think he'll win a green jacket one day, but I can avoid him this week as a short price favourite. If I was going to have an acca now with the improved each-way terms on the Masters, I'd have Dustin Johnson. But I'd stick with the other three. So I still hope Xander Schauffele will win one before the win a regulation event, end his drought before the US Open. So, yeah, go Johnson, Hovland, Schauffele, McIlroy.
Okay. Justin Thomas's second favourite. What do you make of his chances this week?
I fear him because his iron play is typically fantastic. And I fear him because the golfing gods often like to torment me. And last year I gave up on backing Hideki Matsuyama after years of backing Hideki Matsuyama for the Masters. And this year, you must have noticed, I've given up on backing Justin Thomas for the Masters after years of backing Justin Thomas for the Masters. I mean, I've come round to your way of thinking, really, because you always said to me, is Thomas a good enough putter to win the Masters? Will he hold enough putts? You know, he's putted poorly for ages now. I've come to accept that it's a bit of an issue. He's normally brilliant from tee to green in the Masters and rubbish on the greens. Yeah, maybe that slight flattening of them will be the difference, but I don't know. I can leave them alone.
They can't be that flat.
No. They haven't changed dramatically. These are subtle changes, as Tiger said, and he didn't notice it on some of them, but they, you know, he knows that they have changed. he's 12-1. He hasn't done much in majors since winning the 2017 USPGA. I can leave him alone.
I would imagine you gave careful consideration to Cam Smith. He's a player you like, isn't he?
Yeah, I love Cam Smith. Yeah, lightly raced. He's been enjoying lots of family time. Yeah, there's emotional scenes at Sawgrass, and then he didn't play. He hadn't played since then. Decent course record. I think the outright odds are a bit tight. I like him in some other markets. We get to some tops at the end, and I've got him in one of them.
Lovely. Okay. Colin Morikawa, what do you make of his prospects?
Respect him. Precise iron play is usually the key to success at Augusta. Nobody in the world superior in this department. Two-time major champion. Just a couple of off-putting recent performances have made me look elsewhere. He was 68th in the Valspar. That was a poor effort on a suitable course. And he was beaten by the old dog license, as we mentioned last week. 7-6 by Abraham Answer in the match play. I mean, that must have been, those two results must have dented his confidence a little bit.
Okay. Next up, Brooks Koepka, a player who always used to come alive in the majors, didn't he?
Yeah, respect.
He's less sort of fearsome now, isn't he? His reputation has taken a bit of a dent, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, dual US Open champion, dual USPGA champion, tied second in the 2019 Masters. I definitely fear him, but he's been a bit inconsistent. He's played well one week, missed cut the next. I think he'll have one bad round somewhere on the line, but yeah, I respect him.
Do you respect Victor Hovland?
I love Victor Hovland. You know, I'm madly in love with Victor Hovland, as you well know, but I think he got his schedule wrong. I can't believe he played the Valspar. He played 4 weeks in a row. And if you watch his pre-tournament media conference at the match play, he admitted in that before the tournament even started that he was knackered. I know he had last week off, but I think he badly needed it. I think he frazzled himself by playing 4 weeks in a row, contending in most of them. That's my one reason for leaving him out.
Well, that might have done him the world of good, the week off.
I don't think it was enough. I mean, he looked absolutely knackered in the match play, had some tight matches there. One match went extra holes. I think you can sort of burn yourself out and it needs a bit longer to go over. He hasn't played that many Masters. I can do without Hovland this week, but one day he will win a green jacket.
Okay, now then, this next player is on the naughty step, isn't he? Rory McIlroy. You put all your hopes on him last week and he missed the cut.
Ragged performance. And I think it matters more than people, including McIlroy, are letting on. He really could have done with four competitive rounds last week in half-decent weather. Because if you look at his recent events, he was blown away at Bay Hill. He was blown away at Sawgrass, wrong side of the draw, and then skipped the match play. I think he needed a good Texas Open warm-up, but his distance control last week with his irons was terrible. And that is the key component of winning at Augusta. So I think confidence must have taken a hit from the Texas event. And the throw in the Grand Slam pressure, I can live without Rory, I'm afraid.
Righty-ho, Jordan Spieth made late progress up the leaderboard on Sunday, but it was never going to contend. Was it Jordan Smith? Jordan Spieth, I saw having an absurd three-putt from about 2 feet. Was that him last week?
It might have been.
Someone showed me a video of it. It was unreal.
I never know what this means, but it was a real curate's egg of a performance.
I don't know. I must look that up, actually.
I'm pretty sure it applies to this, even though I'm not entirely sure what it means. But, I mean, from tee to green, he was fantastic. And he topped the tee to green stats and he was bottom of the putting stats. I mean, Jordan Spieth is associated with good putting, certainly from long range. But it was the opposite last week. I mean, Spieth, when the Masters comes around, you respect him because of his Augusta form figures. 2-1-2. 11-3, 21-46-3. I mean, almost a standing dish at Augusta, but not enough current form for me. Not enough current form. Putted abysmally last week. Putted poorly at the match play as well. I just can't see him putting it all together, despite his obvious affection for the tournament.
Okay, yeah, a curate's egg is something with both good and bad parts. Its origins can be traced back to a cartoon published in Punch magazine in 1895. Of a curate with an egg.
That's
good research. Like the funniest cartoon. Well, it's all so easy these days. You just go on Google, don't you?
Yeah, it's frighteningly easy.
It certainly is. Two more before we get on to some other tips. Patrick Cantlie, what do you make of his chances?
There's another one. There's a lot of players have just gone off the boil at the wrong time. Yeah, I may have started the year really well. Yeah, Cantlie was contending for everything at the start of the year. We were backing him for most things. Didn't win any of them. And then, yeah, played poorly at Riviera, which, you know, 33rd at Riviera for him is terrible because that's his favourite course on the tour. And then not performed since. So
Didn't he blow it massively at Augusta 1 year? Didn't he smash one into the lake at 16? Playing tricks on me?
No. He took the lead. He took the lead at one stage, didn't he, late on, and then failed from there, dropped to ninth place. Yeah, I wouldn't rule him out, but it's just others I prefer. There's a lot of players like that I'm respecting. I had 10 on my shortlist. And yes, Patrick Cantelay was on that. Yes, in alphabetical order. He's actually top of the shortlist there, but he's got a big cross next to him. So I had 10 on my shortlist. He was one of them, but yeah, he's just gone off the boil.
And another one, I mean, Xander Schauffele, you know, when are you going to actually step up and do it in the majors?
Yeah, and can you imagine him having a chance going up the 16th hole on Sunday? You know, you triple bogeyed the 16th hole with a winning chance last year. Yeah, he's going to be. Yeah, he's going to play very safe on that. Probably make a safe bogey from the other side of the green. No, I don't know. I Schauffele needs to win a lesser tournament before he wins a big one, I think.
Were there any others at really massive prices that almost crept onto the shortlist?
No, there weren't. I mean, if you look at the last 12 winners of this tournament have been in the top 30 of the world rankings.
Yeah, all right.
We're not getting shock winners of this now. Yeah, the class acts. I've been winning this. No. Thomas Peters was the best outsider by a country mile, which is another thing. I'm not sure what it means, but I think it applies in this case.
Okay, fair enough. I see JJ Spawn's there. JJ Spawn, we should just give him some props for winning last week. It was his first win, wasn't it, I think?
Give him some props because, he's a nice man. Yeah, a lot of golfers are arrogant, aren't they? Let's be honest. And JJ Spawn, if you watch his interview afterwards, you can't help but be pleased. Yeah, it seems like one of the nicest golfers.
Oh, really? Was he chuffed to bits?
In the world. Just a lovely smile and a big sort of cuddly character. I was pleased for JJ Spawn. I was pleased because he defeated Adam Hadwin and Bo Hostler and Dylan Fratelli, because if we didn't have had all our eggs in the McIlroy basket last week, we would have had them. Three others to note were in the top eight.
And
all at big prices. So I was really pleased that JJ Spawn got the job done. Yeah. And then, obviously, do you want to talk about the ladies? I mean, that almost... Yeah, Patty Tavatanaki at the Bangkok bombshell. No, we don't want to linger on next last week.
Who won that last week? Oh, someone won it by half the track, didn't they?
No, Jennifer Kupcho. She went six clear after three rounds. Patty Tavatanakit was in second, the Bangkok bombshell, but she finished fourth. So,
I was watching that in a karaoke bar in Villamora. and like I said, I looked up and saw that she was miles clear. And then I'd sort of disengaged, really. It was my turn on the karaoke.
Oh, was it? Did you sing something?
I did, yeah. I did The Wonder of You by Elvis. It was all right.
Oh, lovely job.
Not too bad.
Paul Keighley singing it.
He didn't. No, he got back and he said, I don't know how you do that. He goes, I couldn't do that. I said, come on, anyone can sing. He goes, I can't. But yeah, no, it was good fun. We had a lovely trip. Lovely.
No, I'm very envious. I'm very envious of you. I would like to have been.
The tip from me is if you ever get the chance to play the Royal Course at Val de Lobo, the 16th hole there is right by the ocean at the top of the cliffs. You have to drive over this canyon. It's unbelievable. It was beautiful. Anyway, back to Augusta, Steve. What other tips have you got? Because obviously Borsports and all the other bookies have got a zillion different markets. Everything you could think of that you can bet on, you will be able to bet on. So we've got the likes of the top American, top rest of the world, all those kind of things. Have you chiseled any value out of those?
Yeah, I mean, they're still trickling out the prices. I mean, we're up with the lark on Tuesday morning here. Come the Masters pullout in Wednesday's Racing Post, all the bookmakers will have every price out. You know, it's hard work for the bookmakers this week. Yeah, they've got millions of markets to get ready. They're not going to have them all ready by Tuesday morning. So, get Wednesday's Racing Post and there'll be more tips in there that are not on this podcast. But I do have a few in the tops markets that are already out. And the aforementioned Cameron Smith, who did such a good turn in the Players' Championship. In the outright market, I think his odds are quite tight. But I think for the top rest of the world market, you can seriously consider him. 7-2 is the best price I've seen so far. Not many prices out. There's a huge injury cloud over Hideki Matsuyama. He could manage only 27 holes in Texas last week. You know, even if he was fully fit, you know, defending champions don't play well in the Masters. A lot of pressure on his shoulders. I wouldn't expect Matsuyama to play well. You know, it's not just one problem. He's got a neck problem and a back problem. So Cameron Smith, I think, is a strong option in the top rest of the world market. In the top European market, Thomas Peters is a big price in that. 25 to 1. Very easy to back at 25 to 1. You may get bigger. John Rahm and Rory McIlroy got to be respected, but I think will be upstaged this week by Thomas Peters. And then the top debutant market is fascinating. Yeah, bookmakers a bit slow on this one, a bit twitchy about this one, I think, because there's a strong favourite that I think will be very popular, and that's Sam Burns. I think the bookies are a bit wary of Sam Burns backers. He's a class act, this boy. Won the Valspar Championship last time out. Very sensible scheduling decision to skip the match play after that. You talk about Hovland getting it wrong. Burns got it spot on. He didn't need to play in the match play. He's freshened up for the Masters. Yeah, I think Burns will be developing to a Masters contender over the next few years. So I'd back him for top debutant, but I'd also have another one in that market, a bigger price. I'd have an each-way tickle on Sepp Straka, who's around the 16 to 1 mark at the moment. He's an Austrian, but he's lived in Georgia for most of his life. So this is a home state gig for him. He won his maiden PGA Tour title at the end of February, and then he finished ninth at Sawgrass from the wrong side of the draw, just like Dustin Johnson did. Had a really tough group in the match play, lost to Hovland, beat Will Zalatoris. So Straka's playing well. I think he'll have a really bright debut.
Yeah, I was wondering whether Burns might be one for the outright portfolio. Actually, I think it's 35s with Boyles. So has he got the game for Augusta? There's no reason why the course vagaries should rule him out, is there?
I don't think it'd be long before he's a contender. But yes, it's a bold decision, boss, to back a debutant at Augusta. I mean, we get bored of talking about Fuzzy Zeller every year, don't we? But he's still the last debutant.
Is he really? 1979, I think that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure. I just put a line through the debutants.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and then Sam Burns, as classy as he is, has still got to get over that.
Okay, any players to make or miss the cut that you thought might be interesting? Or have you not really had a good delve into that yet?
No, that will be in the Masters pullout if I can find one. I mean, the prices over Tiger Woods there will be fascinating, won't there? I think there'll be lots of disagreement in the bookmaking community over Tiger Woods. I mean, when those prices come out, you may be able to take advantage of that and guarantee a winner, because I think the odds will be all over the place. But we shall see. I think, as I say, I think you'll scrape through. I wouldn't have a strong conviction on it either way. But we'll have some make-up, miscut action in the pullout, I think.
Excellent. Brilliant stuff. Right then, Steve, anything else or are we all done? Should we reiterate?
I think we should reiterate. Yeah, it won't take long.
Okay. Three tips from Steve Palmer on this week's Masters, and they are...
Dustin Johnson, Scotty Scheffler, and Thomas Peters.
You're loving those three, aren't you?
Yeah, I do. I like keeping it simple, keeping it clean. Yeah, I got two are really fancy, and then one that I think is much better than people realise. I know I've been banging that drum for a long, long time, but yeah, Thomas Peters, do the Jedi thing again. Yes, I can see it. I can see Thomas Peters realising his
potential. Would you
cry
if Peters won it?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I do love Thomas Peters.
Your faith in him for years would have been justified, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and the fact that I'll win lots of money. I think I might cry on that basis. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, Steve, so the rest of the day, you're cramming information into the Brilliant Racing Post pullout, which is in Wednesday's edition. Make sure you check that out. What else have you got on?
Yeah, there'd be lots of action on racingpost.com sports section over the rest of today. You know, new stories coming in all the time. And then, big pull out tomorrow. And then, I got the wife's birthday on Thursday. The wife's birthday always clashes with the Masters. You know, obviously, the November Masters were the only time that she enjoyed her birthday. But, day one of the Masters is my wife's birthday. So
you not take her out for a nice luxury breakfast or something? And you could get a champagne breakfast and then you could get it out of the way and come back and put the golf on, couldn't you?
Yes. I am working on a few things. Yeah. I've got to juggle the wife's birthday, with the Masters, and then tonsillitis is back again as well.
Oh, no.
There's a few things to juggle, but yeah, I am excited. Yeah, for punters.
Well, tell us about the TV coverage, Steve. Is it still that ludicrous thing where you have to wait till about 10 o'clock at night for the first two rounds?
No. We'll have plenty. No. They ditched, haven't they? No. I think we'll still have plenty.
I'm not sure. I think it might still be a bit of featured groups, and then much later than you'd hope. They actually start the proper coverage first. Yeah. I might be wrong, but I seem to remember that irking me last year.
Yeah, I haven't had a look yet. But yeah, you've got these fantastic apps, though, haven't you, that show every shot and that.
So the Masters app is brilliant. That is true. Yes, that is very, very true.
So brilliant stuff. Lots to be excited about.
Yeah, very much so. I'm very much looking forward to it. Looking forward to Sunday's watch along. That should be a good crack, shouldn't it? And I can reveal that it's the first of six such watch alongs we're doing this week. Like I say, in partnership with our sponsors, Boyle Sports. We will be bringing you blow-by-blow coverage of all four majors, plus the Irish Open and the British Masters. So we'd love you to join us on those key Sundays. We'd also love you to let us know who you fancy for the Masters. Just leave your comments underneath the video. If you want to subscribe, fantastic. And also we'd love you to hit the thumbs up if you've enjoyed the show. Good luck, Steve. Well done. I know you've worked extremely hard. And always my favourite feature, by the way, in the Racing Post pullout on the website is your player-by-player guide. So check out Steve's considered verdict on all 91 players. Oh, Steve, by the way, if any of those injured players don't start, do we have a reserve? Is there an alternate?
No. There won't be an alternate. Won't be an alternate. And that player guard you love so much is on PicksWise, remember, this week. It's on PicksWise.
Oh, it is also on PicksWise. Our friends in America. Yes, of course it is.
It's exclusively on PicksWise.
Yes, it is exclusive on PicksWise. So go to PicksWise.com, which is our fantastic US betting site, and you can catch them on there. Yes, that's a very good point. We done, mate?
I think so. May the force be with you.
Absolutely. Or the fours. Let's hope none of our players are shouting four.
No, we don't want that. We don't want that. No, I've got a good feeling about this week.
Okay, brilliant. Well done, Steve. As we always say on the show, bet responsibly. Next week, we will be back to pick through the bones of the Masters and also looking ahead to the Heritage. So please join us for that. And please join us on Sunday for the Masters live watch along.